Well, it is so good to be here with you this morning. It literally feels like just yesterday that I was here sharing of our desire to go to the mission field and how God worked it out to send us through the IMB. But actually, that was 4 years ago. Boy, time flies when you're having fun, right? But no, it is a joy and it is an honor to be here with you all. And to share with you a little bit about my background. I know Pastor Larry was sharing a little bit, but this is I feel like I have to share this every time I'm here. I first met this wonderful family when I started teaching with Angie at Edgemont Elementary School. And shortly after teaching with her, she decided to retire. So I don't know what that says about me, but she had to get out of there. Well, then I decided, well, I'm going to switch. I'm going to go work at Greenville High School. And guess who I worked alongside of? Pastor Larry. And I thought I was going to run him off first, but I ended up leaving the country after working with him. So, no, it was a joy to work with both of them. I love that family dearly, and just so glad to be able to be here with you all this morning. So real quick, yeah, we're up there. Perfect. So, as Pastor Larry said, my family and I have been serving with the International Mission Board, and let me just say real fast, thank you. What a way to start a service to hear that you guys have reached your goal, and let me say that every single dollar that you give to Lottie Moon is going directly to the mission field. There's not anything that's kept for anything else other than getting missionaries to the field and sharing the good news of the gospel. So thank you, thank you, thank you. As we begin this morning, I want to start by just giving a little recap. Like I said, it feels like yesterday, but 4 years ago, 4 years ago, I was standing before you all sharing about what we were about to embark on. So here on the left, you see where our family began. This was me and my wife, and at that time, our two children. We had Timothy, our oldest, and then our daughter Elizabeth. And that was at the conclusion of our training in January of 2021. So we concluded our training. We were going to come back to Newport for just a few weeks before hitting the field, getting to Mexico to do some language learning. So that was us. And now you can see where we are now. The first command in the Bible is go and multiply. And we've tried to fulfill that. We left as a family of four, and now we're coming back as a family of six. So we added I'm holding Luke, and then my wife is holding Aurora. So since we've been gone, we have increased in number. And again, it's just a miracle of God. We were told, you're not going to have kids, and now we have four. So anytime I'm talking to somebody on the mission field and they have questions about the goodness of God, I can tell them about four miracles that I have experienced personally in my own life. So like I mentioned, 4 years ago, we hit the ground running and we headed to Mexico. Now, if you know, Mexico is a Spanish-speaking country. So when you get there, you got to learn the language. Our end goal, of course, was to be in Colombia. And we've spent a year and a half now also in Guatemala, all Spanish-speaking countries. So our first year on the field was dedicated just to learning language. Every day, my wife and I would go to class, and we would sit in class for 5 hours a day, just drilling Spanish into our brains. And we would come home exhausted. But what we also needed to do while we were down there is we also had to experience some culture. So we had to get out of the house, and we had to go visit some places. And there's no better way to experience culture than having a baby in Mexico, right? When you're, 2 months into language, 3 months into language school, and you have a baby, you're in the hospital and you're trying to communicate and figure out how this is going to happen, you learn a lot of new words, right? We were in there, and one word I was glad that I knew was sangre, which is blood, but that's also not a word you want to hear a lot when you're in the hospital, right? But yeah, we 3 months into language school, we bring our little Luke into our lives. And then, of course, if you're in Mexico, you got to experience the food, right? So we had a great time eating the most delicious food. And let me tell you, while you're here in the States and you go to a restaurant and it says authentic Mexican food, it's not authentic. It's good. I mean, honestly, the first day back when we arrived back in the United States, the first place we went to was an authentic Mexican restaurant food. It's not the same, but it's good. But there, it is incredible. And then also here on the right, I love showing this picture. While we were in Mexico, we made a lot of great friends. One of our neighborhood friends invited us to their house to celebrate in a tradition they do there, where they cut this little cake. They cut this cake right during Christmas time. And the way it works, it's kind of interesting. Inside this bread loaf, this cake, there's a little figurine of a baby Jesus. And so as you're cutting, if your piece has the baby Jesus inside of it, you get a host, all the people that are participating to your house to have tamales and exchange gifts and all of this stuff. I mean, it's a really, really neat tradition. And then I was talking to my brother-in-law, his family's from Mexico, and he said, but did you know some people actually eat the baby Jesus because they don't want to host people in their homes? And so now all of a sudden that tradition has a new meaning to me. But we had such a great time. Like I said, we were blessed to be able to spend a year in Mexico and really just dive into the language and learn how can we communicate effectively the gospel. Because that's what we're doing. That was our sole purpose in going. Man, the food was good. Making new friends was great. We were blessed to be part of a wonderful church while we were down there. But our end goal was communicating effectively the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So, we completed our first year on the mission field out of the United States, spent that time in Mexico, but it was time to go to our mission location, which was Colombia. Our goal in mind was to meet up with a group of people known as the Embera Chami. So when we arrived in Colombia, we were introduced to at that time, our teammates. There's two of our teammates there. And they welcomed us in, and they began to show us around and get us acquainted to the Colombian culture. To be honest, there's a lot of similarities between the two. They even have the same language, Spanish. But believe it or not, it's different. And that's one of the things we've learned. We've been in three Spanish-speaking countries, and the Spanish is similar but not always the same. Some of the words that you use in Mexico, you don't dare use in Colombia. And some of the words you use in Colombia, you don't dare use in Mexico. One of the favorite stories I like to share to kind of get this point across is when we were in Mexico, we learned a phrase called que padre. Que padre is just like, that's cool, that's awesome. So somebody tells you something that happened, it was really exciting, and you say, que padre. Well, you get to Colombia, and that really doesn't translate. They don't use that phrase. They use a phrase called que chévere. Que chévere. Oh, you told me this awesome story. Que chévere. Well, then you get to Guatemala, and that phrase really doesn't work because instead they use que chilero. Now, it might not mean a whole lot. It's like, it's just words, right? Well, it's funny, though, is when we arrived in Guatemala after spending a year in Colombia saying que chévere, we started going around saying, que chévere, when things were really neat, when things were cool. And then we learned that chévere there is hot dog. So we've been going around saying, how hot dog, how hot dog. So, I mean, it kind of reminds me of like the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, hot dog, hot dog, hot. I mean, I guess that would work. But, no, we've been spending a year, actually, sorry, not a year. We spent a few weeks saying, how hot dog to everybody before we were corrected. But anyways, we had a wonderful time in Colombia. We thought that our time in Colombia would be our entire time on the mission field, or at least until God had called us to a new location. So we had a time working with, like I mentioned, the Embera Chami people. They're an indigenous group that really are in all parts of Colombia, but especially around the city where we were. They were up in the Andes Mountains, so we'd have to travel up into the mountains to meet with them. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. We got to experience a lot of different things. In a little bit, I'll kind of tell you kind of our focus in the IMB, how we kind of do work, and it will make a lot more sense. But while we were there, Our goal was really just getting to know the people and building relationships with these people so that we could evangelize. And then by evangelizing, hoping to see conversion. And after seeing conversion, hoping to plant a church. And then when we had a church planted, helping form leaders and have a healthy church so one day we could move on to the next location. So while we were there, we looked at ways of getting into communities. I don't know if you see up here in this left top picture, you got these two cute kids. This is actually really neat. Of course, Luke is ours. And this little girl was actually the daughter of the pastor. So the pastor of the church that we were part of in Columbia, they were really excited when they found out at that time Courtney was pregnant, that the pastor's wife would actually be having a little child. So she was born, and so that's our two children kind of hanging out there on Operation Christmas Tree shoeboxes, or Operation Christmas shoeboxes. So that was one of our strategies, is we could give out shoeboxes and hopefully gain entry into a new location. And when we were in this new location, we could then begin to evangelize. Or like my wife was mentioning up front with the kids, sometimes it was just we would walk around in an area and we would start praying. And as we're walking around, it's kind of hard to miss, you know, a family of five, blonde hair, blue-eyed kids walking around. We kind of stick out, which is something that was really strange when we came back here, because now I actually have to look for my kids. They don't just stand out in the crowd. But when we're walking around, people would say, "Hey, who are you? What are you doing here?" And we would gain entry that way. And from there, we had a chance to work within these communities. So you see in this top right picture, I know it's kind of small up there, but that top right picture is actually one of the churches that was established by our teammates. They were working through the process of establishing a healthy church in an area. They had a few believers in that community. And so we would go and we would take part in these worship services and these prayer meetings and just meet with these folks in the Embera tribe. And then, of course, I had to get a picture of the food for, you know, no reason at all, right? But delicious food. Now, we were blessed to work in a community called Soratena. And bear with me if I start crying. It's because I still have a heart for the people there. But I have good news to share. Even though we had to leave, there's good stuff still happening there. But this was our community. When we arrived in Colombia, we were introduced to this community known as Soratena. And so here on the top right, you can see that I'm sitting there and I'm talking. This was a lady in the community. Her name was Flor, and her husband was Miguel. And so every time that I made a trip up to Soratena, I had to get with this family. To find out, in this community, a lot of the places that we visited, they were family. They were related. So if you start at this bottom right picture here, you have Luke hugging this gentleman. I'll never forget his name. His name was Marco. And that's easy to remember, right? Because I'm a Marco when I'm out in the Spanish-speaking world. But this is Don Marco. He was an 87-year-old believer. When we arrived, we found out he was indeed a believer. And he had tried to instill beliefs into his children. He tried to raise them to pursue and love the Lord. And some of his children kind of followed in one way or another. But the fact is, he prayed for them daily because he thought they were more than likely lost. But we met Don Marco, and Miguel, the husband of the lady I'm talking to, Flor, was his son. And so we always made an effort to get down to his house and just share with him. The way that we liked sharing with the people there is by storytelling. How many of you can tell a story? Well, the good news is if your hand's not raised, I can train you on it, and then you can raise your hand, right? But we would just tell stories. We would tell stories of the Bible, because why? Think about Jesus. When he was here on this earth and he would be around people and he would get up and he would give this elaborate sermon, right? No, he'd just tell a story. And then he would use that story to teach. So we learned quickly, we're going to tell stories. And we would go and we'd sit down and there I'm telling a story with Flor. And then she would share it with her husband and her kids. And we would just talk about it. Is there anything in the story that caught your attention? And we would discuss it. But that's Miguel and Flor. To this day, I don't know their spiritual condition. I would say more than likely they are still lost. But there's hope. There's hope. Beside Flor, we have a sweet lady called Zolani. Now, Zolani, more than likely, we would say is a believer. And we always made an effort to get to her house and to spend time with her because one of two things. One, we wanted to be an encouragement to her. We wanted to be an encouragement to her as she would continue to share with others in the community. She had a lot of great opportunities. For example, one time I showed up at her house and there were tables set up and chairs set up and there was about 15 women. Remember that small apartment they were talking about? That was her little living area where they had probably four or five tables and about 15 women all sitting around making beaded bracelets and necklaces. She had a group that met regularly. Those are the people we want to encourage. If you're a believer, God has called you to share. That's an opportunity right there. So we'd always get to her house and we would encourage her. But then one of the things we realized too is in that area, there's a religious organization that would come in and they were extremely, extremely legalistic. If you don't dress the way we dress, if you don't sound the way we sound, you're not going to be part of this church. To give you a case in point, going back to Flor and Miguel. Flor and Miguel tried to attend the church one time because they had been invited. And when they showed up at the church, they almost got shunned and kicked out. And the reason for it is because they didn't have an official certificate of marriage from Colombia. Now, let me tell you a little bit about that, because some people are like, well, they should be officially married. Well, in Colombia, to be officially married, it's a very costly thing. And within these communities, they would marry, they would celebrate, they would live together as a husband and wife. The community would call them husband and wife, but they didn't have money for a piece of paper that said we're married. So in the eyes of the government, they're not married. In the eyes of the community, they're completely married. We've celebrated. We've seen the two come together. But the church would say, no, 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 no. You're living together and you're not married because you don't have a piece of paper. And it broke their hearts. And it's one of the reasons that they shun the church. So Zolani was part of this church. And we would have to encourage her in many of these things. Be careful what we take as tradition and try to make it the word of God. Because it will bring division. So the sweet family here, you have Don Marco, the dad. You have his son Miguel, which there's his wife Flor. They left the church, avoided religion because of the legalism that they saw. And then you have Zolani, who we think still is a believer, but we need to encourage her to continue doing work in her area. Now, shortly after that, you see our kids there waving because we had to leave. So if you don't know, our plan was, hey, we're in Colombia. We're going to work in Colombia, and we're going to be in Colombia for many, many years, and we're going to just see God do amazing things. And after a year and a half in Colombia, the government came in and said, we're going to make a change to a few things. This missionary visa that we have that allows foreign missionaries to come in, we're going to completely get rid of. Now, it's not me saying it. Speak to anyone in Colombia and they'll tell you exactly why that happened. They did not want the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed in that country. So the missionary visa that we had was completely removed. So we had to look for other paths to stay in Colombia. Now, some of our teammates, they had children born in Colombia. So they were able to stay because they had a connection. We had other teammates that had been in Colombia for such a long period of time, they had already established residency. But for us, this change came quickly, right when our visa was about to expire. And sadly, because of that, we could not continue to stay there. There was no visa option for us. So we began praying what God would have us do next. And God led us to a couple of soon-to-be retired missionaries that were looking for somebody to take their spot in Guatemala. And that is why we are, at this time, serving in Guatemala. We had a plan, and God said, we're moving it. You went to where we needed you, but now it's time to move on. Let me tell you how God works, though. This is great. It was hard to leave Colombia. Like I said, we thought we were there for the long haul. It was hard to leave, but God made it so much easier when we realized that the church that we had been part of caught vision of what we were doing. And when I would go to the community, there were people that wanted to come alongside of me, and they wanted to come serve in that community. So when it was time for us to leave, I remember having a conversation with the pastor, and he came up to me and he said, I want you to know your work doesn't stop here. We've already told this guy in the church, you're going to continue the work. You're going to continue going just like Mark was going. You're going to continue getting to that community. You're going to share the gospel. You're going to encourage those who are believers. We're going to continue the work in that area. To make it even sweeter, there was a church in the United States that would constantly come down. Really, one gentleman who would, you know, tell his church, we're going, and he would go whether anyone came or not. He had a heart for Colombia, and he kept coming. And when he heard that we were leaving, he said, that's okay. You got a church down there. I can come hang out with them, and we'll go continue the work. So when we left, the work did not end. The church that we were part of continued doing work in the community. The church from the States that was coming down to serve alongside of us said, hey, we're going to continue to come down whether you're there or not, because we want to see this community changed by the gospel. So it's not easy. It's not easy to leave. It wasn't easy to leave. But we were thankful that God was working behind the scenes to continue to get his name proclaimed in the city or the community of Suratena. So a year and a half ago, we arrived in Guatemala. We were picked up at the airport by our teammates, and then they loaded us in some vehicles, and we traveled from the airport 3.5 hours to our new home in Quetzaltenango, or if you just want to say Xela, Guatemala, where we have been for the past year and a half. And, well, you got to show this picture. That's where our little Aurora was born. So we've had the privilege of bringing two children into the world. We have a Mexican-American in our family and now a Guatemalan-American in our family. It makes travel a lot of fun. If we ever go to Mexico, tell you a fun little story. We were traveling on vacation one time. When you live in Mexico, it's easy to go to places that usually cost a lot of money. So like Cancun. If you're already living there, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump away. So we decided to go visit Cancun. We had never been, so we thought, let's do it while we're here in Mexico. We went there, and we went by plane, and when we arrived, we're going through this little checkpoint, and the lady says, excuse me, you guys are in the wrong lane. This is for only the nationals. For any Mexicans, they can come through this lane. And I pulled out Luke's Mexican passport, and her eyes got huge, and she said, come on in. And my whole family used that passport to get in the short line, and it was a wonderful thing. But no, it's been a blessing to have Luke being born in Mexico, dual citizen, and also Aurora. Now we know that, hey, if something happens and countries begin to close down, there's two countries that we can get into. As Courtney mentioned, our children are a huge part of our ministry. Not only do they play and create opportunities, being born in another country, they open up doors and pathways. If for some reason Mexico closes its border, you can't come in, my son can still go in. If Guatemala did the same, my daughter could still get in. As parents of those two, we can enter. So it's amazing what God is doing through the children. So never neglect the importance and the role of children on the mission field. And let me also say this. You can do it. One of the biggest fears is, well, I have kids, we can't do the mission field. Listen, it's living life. If your kids are living life in the United States, they can live life there. It might just be with a different language. And God will do amazing things through them. And to be honest, with the language, they'll pick it up quicker than you will. It's amazing how fast they learn. You just got to work on your jealousy, because sometimes you'll be a little jealous and frustrated that they speak so well and you're still struggling through it. But we arrived in Guatemala a year and a half ago, and instantly we tried to get acquainted to the culture and continue learning language. You never really stop learning. There are times where we don't remember the Spanish word we need to use, and also we don't remember the English word so that we can translate it into the Spanish word. So it's a whole mess when you start learning languages. But we never stop learning language. So what we decided to do is we decided to get connected with churches in the area to find people to practice our Spanish with. But then also I decided to spend a little bit of time in one of the schools in Guatemala to practice my Spanish. And when I first arrived, my first teacher was a guy by the name of Joel. And Joel was a believer. And so from the beginning, I was able to tell him, hey, I'm here and my goal is to learn to speak well so I can share the gospel. And he was on board with me. And instantly we made a great friendship, and still, I mean, daily, weekly, we're communicating even though we're miles apart, just asking how each other are doing. And we've already made plans for when I get back, we're going to continue doing some mission work here, some mission work here. He was the one that actually invited me to come play soccer every Monday night. This big, lanky, out-of-shape gringo. He said, hey, come play soccer with us every Monday night. But then we turned that into a witnessing opportunity where I would play soccer, and then I would invite the guys to our church where I could share the gospel with them as we drink coffee and eat some bread. But Joel introduced us to his wonderful mother, who would come over to our house every once in a while, and she would hang out with the kids, gives them a chance to continue to practice their Spanish. But then my favorite thing was she would come and teach us how to cook some different traditional meals. And she just loved on our kids and just really helped them grow in the culture, helped us grow in the culture, and then also helped our bellies grow bigger because she was a phenomenal, phenomenal cook. But we had a wonderful time just getting to know the Guatemalan culture. And then also our little Guatemalan was born there. Now, what do we do in Guatemala? I remember a conversation that we had with somebody one time in just a few years ago. Basically, when we announced that we had to leave Colombia and we'd be heading to Guatemala, they asked something that to us, I don't want to say we were offended, but we were like, what? They asked the question, why are you going to Guatemala? Isn't it already reached? Now, we'll talk more about that phrase here in a little bit. But let me tell you about Guatemala, and here's what you're going to experience there. In Guatemala, there have been a lot of missionaries that have come through. Let's pretend like this is a main highway in Guatemala. Missionaries travel this main highway. So guess where the gospel gets shared? On this main highway. Now, if I had a map of Guatemala and all the major highways, they don't cover a lot of the country. So what you do is you have a lot of missionaries coming in, and they're sharing the gospel along these main highways because they're easy places to get to, but there's a whole lot more of the country that's being neglected. But then you also have a second problem that you see a lot of times. Remember that legalism I talked about in Colombia? It creeps in Guatemala as well. And you have people that will go to a church and they're rejected because their hair's too long. The guy comes in with long hair, we don't want you here. You come in with a tattoo, we don't want you here. You don't know how to sing the songs we sing, we don't want you here. So when we arrived, we started partnering with our teammates who will be retiring very soon. And they started a church called Second Chance. And they said, this church is for those people that need a second chance. You've given up on church because of some past experience. We want you here. And so here you can see some of our pictures of our time in the church. On the left here, I had the opportunity to share with the kids and teach during their kind of their kids' worship time. The top picture is actually people at the church. We decided to do an outreach. So we went to a central park. And in that central park, we just passed out coffee and bread, and we talked to the people that would pass by. And then here at the bottom is one of the most recent, not even the most recent, but one of the most recent pictures of the people in the church. And there's quite a few people there. I get so excited seeing that picture because the first Sunday we attended that church, there were 10 people at the church. Six of them were my family. Then you had our teammates, his husband and wife, or the husband and wife. That's 8 people. That means when we first attended that church service, you had 2 Guatemalans attending. And now, look what the Lord has done. God is good, man. So it's been wonderful to work in the community, in the city of Quetzaltenango. But the fact is, like I said, missionaries get to the main roads. They get to the main cities. What's happening outside? As Courtney mentioned, we had the privilege of being part of a medical mission clinic. So we had a group from the States come down and they said, hey, we want to supply medical support to an area. And so we said, let's do it. And so we drove about 6.5 hours. Well, what should have been a 6.5 hour trip, we drove 9 hours, or at least we're in the car for 9 hours, to get to one of the communities that were outside of the cities. And we set up for a medical clinic. And during that time, we met many, many people. Many great people. And we got to share the gospel. As people came in and we helped with their physical needs, we helped with their medical needs, we then got to reach out and share about their spiritual need. And we got to witness to these individuals. As my wife mentioned, here's our kids drawing pictures with some of the kids that were coming through in the medical process. But then also you have Timothy here. He got tired of playing and he decided to help count the medicine pills for one of the prescriptions, right? So it's not all just fun and games for the kids. Sometimes we put them to work, but they can do it. And he had a wonderful time, and it was just neat to see his heart for helping others. And that's encouraging to me, and it's also encouraging to others. If he can do it, why can't I? So we had the opportunity to work in this area with this medical clinic and just see what God is doing. And we look forward to getting back to Guatemala. To be honest, it was a difficult year and a half in Guatemala when we arrived. We had the baggage of leaving one country that we had fallen in love with, Colombia. And then also my wife was pregnant, so we can't travel as much as we had hoped or planned because the roads there are a little bumpy, to say the least. So we couldn't travel like we wanted. So it was difficult. So we look forward to getting back and being able to travel out to this community, making it a weekly or bi-weekly extravaganza, getting out there and continuing work in this area. So real fast, this is our Guatemalan team. You see the fine folks basically dead in the middle. Behind my 2 oldest kids, that's Gary and Lily Stone. They're the missionaries that will be retiring in May, and they will be coming back to the States, and we'll continue their work in Xela, Guatemala. Now, I just gotta love on them for a little bit. When they knew that we were going to be taking their position, right, they had set their date to retire earlier, and they were getting ready to leave. Well, then we had a new family come in. So the far left, you see a husband and wife and their 3 girls right there. This new family felt called to Guatemala and they were going to come in. And their arrival date was right about the time when Courtney and I were about to leave. So you have a new family coming in. Our mentor missionaries were supposed to be retired and gone. And we were leaving. So this new family coming in would have had nobody there, at least in Shayla. And our mentor said, we don't have to retire yet. We can go a little bit longer, right? And so they have stuck through another year of work just so they could mentor this new couple coming in. And then they'll retire in May. And then our plan is to also return to Guatemala in May. So this team is not trying to do it all by themselves. Because you might think Guatemala is a small place, but there's a lot of work to do. And so think about Jesus when he would go out and when he would go out, he would have a group with him. He had his disciples. And even from there, when they split up, they would always go in pairs. And so we look forward to getting back and working alongside of this team. And then on the far right is our team leader. They're in a different part of Guatemala. They serve the east side of Guatemala while we're serving in the west side of Guatemala. But we do try to connect and do some of our projects together. But this is Team Guatemala is what we call ourselves. So if you ever get down to Team Guatemala and visit us, this is the wonderful bunch you'll see. Now, real quick, last thing before I jump into the real good stuff right now. Before I continue, I want to show this last picture here. While we were in Mexico, while we were in Colombia and also Guatemala, we had the privilege of connecting back with churches in the States. This is actually our sending church, our home church, while we were here, Lincoln Avenue Baptist Church. And they invited us to participate in their VBS. And so we just did a video call, and we were able to share with the kids a little bit about what we were doing. We always answered the question, what do you eat? Where do you sleep? Believe it or not, there are times where you're going to live in rough conditions and you're going to have to eat some strange foods. But that doesn't mean that's your entire life, okay? So if that's one of your fears, let me tell you, there are times where you will sleep in very nice, comfy beds and you'll eat the most delicious food you've ever eaten in your life, okay? But we got to share that with the kids. We got to share about our work in these countries via video call. So let me do a little plug here. If you ever have a desire during a VBS or something like that to speak to us, we always keep our calendar open and available for any of our home churches that want to speak or have somebody share. So I'll just throw that out there. Now, real quick, I do want to tell you a little bit more about not just us, but also the IMB, because that's who you're supporting. When you give to Lottie Moon, you are giving to the International Mission Board. And this is what I've always said, and I want you to hear me out, okay? I remember talking to a church one time, and they said, you know, we give to the International Mission Board because you are a part of the International Mission Board. And I said, thank you, but don't give because of that. Because you never know. Medical emergencies happen all the time, and missionaries have to leave the field. And so one day, something could happen to us and we would have to leave the field. And if your giving is only because of a certain person, then there are other missionaries that are missing out or losing out or struggling because of that. So please don't give just because it's one missionary that you know. But know that all of your giving goes to support missionaries all across the world. And the work they are doing some amazing things. And we're seeing so much life change happening globally because of your giving. But our goal is reaching the nations, and there's a big word there, together. We cannot do this by ourselves. So real quick, what is our vision in the International Mission Board? It's a multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, knowing and worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. And this vision statement comes directly from Revelation chapter 7. This beautiful picture of heaven, and you have all these different peoples and all these different tribes, and they're all singing. And I don't know what the language will be. I don't know if it's going to be a mix of all of them. It's really funny, though, after singing some songs in Spanish and then hearing them in English, I'm like, oh, English is such an ugly language. It's just not pretty. But when we're in heaven, I bet even if it's English and Spanish and Portuguese, whatever's being sung, it's going to sound beautiful. Because the fact of the matter is, it's not about our voices, but it's about who we're singing too. But our vision is exactly that. We want to see that come to place. Now, why do we do this? Why do we go? We go because we believe that the biggest problem in this world is lostness. The biggest problem is lostness. It's not inflation, believe it or not. It's not politics. It's not any of those things. The fact is, the biggest problem in this world is lostness. I'll give you a little picture here. This is all the different areas in which the IMB is working. We have eight different, we call them affinities. So this is groups that are working together. So we have down here, we have what's called the Americas. See, the Americas is all the Central America and South American countries, all the missionaries that are part of that area. That is called the Americas affinity. We have missionaries all the way up in Mexico, all the way down to the tip of South America. We have the Middle East and North Africa affinity. We have the Sub-Saharan affinity, Europe affinity, Central Asia, South Asia, Asian Pacific. We also have the Death affinity. I love this about the International Mission Board. They said, you know what? There are people that can't hear. And people are afraid. How are we going to share the gospel? We're so used to speaking the gospel. And these people can't hear. And the IMB said, okay, we're going to make a group of people that speak in sign language. And we're going to continue to share the gospel. There's not going to be an excuse for you not hearing the gospel. We'll make it possible. So I love the work that the International Mission Board is doing across the globe. Now, real fast, as you look up there, you're thinking, there's no one in North America, right? There is a different organization. It's the same part of the Southern Baptist Convention known as the North American Mission Board. So we're not neglecting that part. There's still work to be done in North America. But the International Mission Board focuses solely outside of the United States, outside of Canada, in other parts of the world. But you look here, and we can read that 59% of the world's population is considered unreached. More than half. Now, when I say unreached here, I want you to understand, we're not just saying 50% or 59% is lost. No. Unreached means that there's nobody in an area sharing the gospel. So lostness is a whole lot higher than 59%. But we're saying out of that, you know, huge number of people that is lost, 59% of that, no one's even talking to them about the gospel. Or put it into perspective, 4.6 billion people. So what do we do? Why do we do what we're doing? Because lostness is the greatest problem. And there are some people that have not even heard. They have not been reached. So we are going. We're getting off that main road. And we're going to where people have not heard about Jesus Christ. We believe that the solution to the greatest problem is the gospel. It is our responsibility to share the gospel with those who have not heard it. Now, I want to drill down a little bit more real fast. Might be hard to see, but I want you to imagine with me here. Up here, there's this giant red dot, and inside it says, each red dot represents 50,000 lost people. Okay? Now, you can see there's all these little dots all over. All right? Now, I'm going to zoom in. There's Guatemala. That's a few red dots, isn't there? To kind of help put it in perspective, the country of Guatemala in area, land size, is really about the size of Tennessee. Okay? There's Guatemala, same area size as Tennessee, and look at those red dots. And if you get close enough, you'll notice that there's red dots on top of red dots on top of red dots. That is the problem that we see in Guatemala. Lostness. That orange star there represents where we are in the western part of Guatemala. And we are surrounded. We are surrounded with lostness. And if you ever come visit us and we go driving around, you'll figure out real quick why. We also live in a very beautiful part of Guatemala. We have volcanoes and mountains that surround us, but it makes travel difficult. Like I said, we wanted to visit one community. GPS says, oh, you're 6 hours away. Until you get stopped by cattle crossing the street. Until you get stopped by a bus that's turned over. Until you get stopped by just slow trucks trying to drive up these mountain paths. It took us over 9 hours to get there. It's difficult to travel. And because it's difficult to travel, it takes time for the gospel to spread. But that is what we see in Guatemala. So if the biggest problem is lostness, the solution to that problem is the gospel, then we believe in sending missionaries. We believe in missionary presence. We want to see people getting into these hard-to-reach areas. And what does the Bible teach us? We live in a really cool world. I can call right now my friend in Guatemala. I can FaceTime my friend in Guatemala, and I can see him. But we believe in physical presence. We want to be there. We might use strategies to help us connect great lengths, but ultimately we need to be in person. Now, I told you earlier that I wanted to share real quickly what the IMB does. When we get to Guatemala, what do? We believe in something called the missionary task. There's six parts of this missionary task. And at some point, or in each area of the world where IMB missionaries are serving, we are working in one or multiple of these parts. So real quick, I love to share this. I think this is really important. And this is something, honestly, you could even do here. Okay? It's not just because we're a missionary we use this. No, this is just a great strategy to see combat against lostness. So what do we believe in? First things first, we believe in entry. We have to get into areas. May it be Operation Christmas Tree Shoeboxes. We take shoeboxes into an area and we say, hey, we have gifts, and they welcome us in. Maybe it's through a friend. Maybe it's through a friend. I'm super excited. I met some Guatemalans in Morristown. We attended a church service a few Sundays ago at one of the Hispanic churches in Morristown. And while we were sharing that, you know, the church welcomed us and told us to stand up and give a little hello and who we are, and I mentioned we were in Guatemala. And after the service, I had about three gentlemen come up and say, hey, I'm from Guatemala and I have family there. Entry. Where do they live? I want to go visit. Now I've entered into an area. Hey, I know your son or I know your daughter who lives in the United States. I met them and now I'm in a new area. We have to enter into places using our children. We walk around and they say, ooh, look at this child. Can I hold your baby? Yes, you can hold our child. We got some amazing pictures of our Guatemalan friends just loving on our children. But it allows us to enter into a new area for the purpose of evangelism, right? Our reason for going, we want to evangelize. And as we begin to evangelize, we believe that conversion will take place, and then we disciple these new converts. We don't just leave them out to dry. We don't see evangelism and then conversion take place and then say, see you later. No, we want to disciple. We want to walk alongside of them. And as we're doing that, we know that churches will begin to form. But we don't just want churches. We want healthy churches. Healthy churches. Because the fact is, it's easy just to plan a church, to make a building. But no, we want healthy churches. Churches that are evangelizing. Churches that are mobilizing. Churches that are gathering. And that sounds so silly, but if these things aren't taught and they don't know how to do these things, it won't happen. So we work with our believers in these churches to create a healthy church. And then we see leadership development. A lot of times people think we got that flipped. We have to have the leaders before we can have the church. But no, we want to have the church established, and then from there, we want to see who are the leaders that we can develop. Because again, our end goal is we're working ourselves out of a job. When we see a healthy church and we see leaders developed in that church, then we can begin to exit. And there's also an important word up there, exit to partnership. We don't just leave those churches high and dry. We continue to reach out to them. We continue to encourage them, to love on them, to see what they need and how we can serve them. It's not easy living this life in this world. So we want to continue to go alongside of them. So we believe for Southern Baptist, the IMB, the International Mission Board, is the mechanism for sending missionaries to the people and places where Jesus is not known or heard. So we thank you. We thank you. It's only possible because of you. Now I'm long-winded because I used to be a teacher, but I got a few more slides that I really want to get through. So I'm going to go through these quickly, but I need your attention. I can tell you all about the mission board. I can tell you all about us, but I don't feel right leaving without challenging you all. And so that's what I'm going to do. Sorry. So I want everyone to say this. Repeat after me. I want you to say, Vale. I'll give you like a 30% on that. Let's try it again. Say, Vale. Vale. La pena. One more time. Vale. Vale. La pena. Vale la pena is a phrase that we use in many Spanish-speaking cultures or speaking countries around the world. Vale means the worth or the value of something. La pena, it actually deals with like the pain or the difficulties or the trouble, right? So when we put this phrase together and say vale la pena, what we're saying, it's worth the pain. It's worth the hardship. Well, we can just shorten it and say this. It's worth it. Whatever that thing is, vale la pena, it's worth it. It's worth it. Before I came up here, we sang a song, and I had to snap a quick picture. I want to read these lyrics that we just got done singing. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. And boy, oh boy, man, we sang that loud. I saw even some hands go up. We are so thankful what God has done for us. There are people that don't know about it. And guess what? The proclamation of the gospel, vale la pena. It is worth it. Whatever hardship you may face, whatever difficulty may come, it is worth it. So real quick, I want to look at scripture with you. And then, like I said, I just want to give you three quick challenges, and then I'll conclude my time. As they were going along the road, someone yelled or said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first go say farewell to those who are at my house. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. It's not always easy. Sometimes it might not even be fun. There are difficulties. There are changes that take place, but vale la pena, it is worth it. I love this picture of our little Elizabeth just standing overlooking one of the communities that we worked in in Colombia. We drove up this beautiful, beautiful mountain. I mean, I don't know how in the world, when I drive through these hills and I see these views, how could people not believe in a God? But there are those that don't. But vale la pena. He is worth it, declaring his goodness. So like I mentioned, I just want to quickly give you three challenges this morning. So as you see here, Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. My first challenge or my first point to you is this. We are sojourners. We are simply passing through. We are sojourners. Listen, you might own a building. You call it a house here in the United States, but that is not your home. That is not your home. We are simply renting a place here on this earth because we know that our home is eternally in heaven. We are passing through. So let me challenge you with this. Don't get so settled and rooted in one area that when God says go, you're afraid to go. This home is not our home. Yes, it is difficult to say to my parents, we're leaving. We're taking your grandbabies to another country. It's hard to tell my friends. It's hard to tell the church that I served at for almost 10 years. I'm stepping down as youth pastor to go. But vale la pena. It is worth it. The gospel is worth it. And we're just sojourners. We're passing through. Another, very important. He says, hey, Jesus, you know, I can follow you, but first let me go and bury my dead. Now listen, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I look forward, but I know one day my parents will pass away. And when that time comes, I will return to the States. And I hope to bury my parents, right? So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Don't hear what I'm not saying, right? But I'm saying this. Physical death is momentary. But spiritual death carries eternal consequence. What's Jesus telling him there? Listen, let the dead bury the dead. We must go and proclaim the kingdom of God. The physical death we experience here on this earth is momentary. But a spiritual death, apart from Christ, has eternal consequences. So why do we go? Vale la pena. It is worth it. And then finally, as I mentioned a moment ago, it's hard to say bye to my parents. It's hard to say bye to my friends. Let me go say bye to those who are in my house. And Jesus says, no, our focus must be on the kingdom of God. This world will send so many distractions your way. We must focus on the goodness of God. We must focus on the gospel. So in Matthew 9, Jesus is looking out and he sees the crowd of people and he has compassion. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Remember, every red dot, 50,000 lost souls. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. We covet your prayers. We are so thankful for your prayers when you pray for us as we are overseas. But the fact is, there is more work to be done. And even in a group this size, it's possible that God is tugging on somebody's heart and saying, hey, it's difficult to leave. It's difficult to say goodbye. But vale la pena, it is worth it. Vale la pena, it is worth it. So real quick, I'll leave this up here as we wrap up our time together. And I just want to say, if you need anything, we're here to serve you as well. We can't thank you enough for your prayers, but if there's a way we can be praying for you, we desire to do that. So our contact information is up here. That phone number, I will tell you, it changes once we return to Guatemala. We will get a Guatemalan number. You're more than welcome to call a Guatemalan number if you have long distance calling. What's cool about my phone plan in Guatemala is I can call the states free of charge, and it doesn't charge you as well. So, but that phone number will change. But while we're here the next about 6 months, you can reach out to me or my wife if you need us. That email address won't change. So if you're an emailer, you can reach out to us. Any questions you may have, any way that we can pray or support you, we'd love to do that. But I have run over my time. I told Larry, I'll take 45 minutes. Yeah. But I just want to say this. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come. Thank you for allowing me to share. Know that as you're praying for us, we feel those prayers. As you give to the International Mission Board, we feel that as well. We thank you, thank you, thank you. But also, let me challenge you. God, Jesus, before leaving, said, go into all the world. His proclamation to the disciples, start in your home country and then spread out. So let me encourage you. You're not too old. You're not too young. God just wants somebody willing. And he'll use you in a mighty way. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll turn it back over to Pastor Larry to wrap us up here. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for the goodness of who you are. Vale la pena. It is worth it. Let us never take for granted what you have done for us, but also let us never keep inside what you've done for us. Let us proclaim it from the mountains, the goodness of your salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And it's in your name we pray all these things. Amen.